Luke chapter 5, and we want to begin reading with verse 12. And we've titled our message tonight, There Is Hope. There is hope. And so we want to begin reading with verse 12 of Luke chapter 5. The Bible says, And it came to pass when he was in a certain city, behold, a man full of leprosy, who, seeing Jesus, fell on his face and besought him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And he put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. And immediately the leprosy departed from him. And he charged him to tell no man, but to go and show thyself to the priest and offer for thy cleansing, according to Moses commanded, for a testimony unto them. But so much the more went there a fame abroad of him, and great multitudes came together to hear and to be healed by him of their infirmities. And he withdrew himself into the wilderness and prayed. Let's pray now. Father, thank you for our time together. Lord, we do thank you for this opportunity that we have, that we can come and pray and seek your face and encourage one another. And Lord, we just pray that you'll help us tonight. We lift up the request of prayer that were mentioned again, those that are physically hindered, those that are on our prayer list that seem to be struggling and having difficulties in their lives. Lord, we just pray that you'll continue to bless them. May they feel your presence. And Lord, if there's someone that doesn't know Christ as their personal Savior, Lord, listening and watching tonight, maybe someone that we're acquainted with, Lord, we lift them up to you. And Lord, we pray that we'll be a witness, that we can be an encouragement to them to come to know Christ. We lift them up to you. And Lord, I ask that you help me tonight. And Lord, we ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Why is hope such a powerful word? Why is the word hope such a powerful word? One definition says hope can be a powerful source of motivation and can help a person find meaning and purpose in life. Now that is what one definition recalls the word hope. But true hope isn't based upon circumstances. True hope isn't based upon places. True hope isn't based upon things. But yet that seems to be what motivates individuals, circumstances. If our circumstances are always positive and always looking bright, then there's individuals that seem to think that, yes, there's great hope. But hope is not in things, but hope is in a person. Hope is in a person, and that person is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and his name is Jesus. In verse 15, it says, But so much the more went there a fame abroad of him, and great multitudes came together to hear and to be healed of their infirmities. And yes, these people came to be healed. They got word that he was one that would heal and that can heal and had the ability to heal, and they sought him. And they came to be healed. But who did they come to? They didn't come to a crowd of individuals. They didn't come to a congregation, but they came to Jesus to be healed. They came to Jesus. You see, he was the person that made a difference in lives. He was the person that made a difference in even in this passage of Scripture, this one with leprosy. And Jesus is the only one that can change a man's withered hopes. I think at some point in our lives that we've had withered hopes. We've thought things were going to happen a certain way, or we thought things were going to be a certain way, and something happened, and it would be considered withered hopes. I know a gentleman that he's passed away now, but I know a gentleman that I was acquainted with many years ago, and he retired from his job, from his livelihood, and he and his wife had a second home, and they were planning on traveling, going back and forth to their second home. And it was a very nice home from what I understood. And then his father got sick. And then he ended up taking care of his father. And then when his father passed, then his wife, in the meantime, she developed a sickness, and she developed a condition in her life. So he began to take care of her. And it got to where they couldn't travel, they couldn't do anything. And as he was taking care of her, then he developed a problem, and he developed a sickness. And believe it or not, he went to see the Lord before she did. And so he wound up selling, before he passed away, he wound up selling this other property. And the things that he thought he was going to be able to do, he wasn't able to do. And so one would think, well, that's terrible, and that's a that is awful, and of course it was sad. But it's sad in a lot of ways, because if a person's hope is only in things, then there would be a lot of discouragement. But I knew this individual personally, and this individual's hope was not in things, but it was in Jesus Christ. So in the process of what he thought was going to happen, and things changed, he still got promoted to glory, and he's living a good life. You see, hope is not based upon things. Hope is based upon a person, and that person is Jesus Christ. You see, we know that Jesus has power over nature. We see that in this same chapter, chapter 5, verses 4 and following. It says, "And when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. And Simon answering and said unto him, Master, we have toiled all night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. And when they had, this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net break." Only Jesus can do that. Only Jesus can take a bad situation. They had fished all night. They were experienced fishermen. They had fished all night, and they were doing what they were supposed to be doing and how they were supposed to do it. And then they followed Jesus, and Jesus says, "Let down your nets." And they did, and their nets were full. Jesus had power over nature. Jesus had power over the fish. I'm not going to tell you a story. There's been times that I've gone fishing that I wish Jesus would have had power over the fish that didn't bite my line. Because more times than not, I've come up empty-handed. And any fisherman, and I'm just going to say it, any fisherman that comes back and doesn't catch any fish, or doesn't catch very many, that says, "I was just out there enjoying nature," they're probably not telling you the truth. Nature's just part of it. And yes, there's a lot of beauty, but anybody who likes to fish wants to at least catch a fish. And so I just want to confess that to you tonight. But Jesus had the power over nature. Jesus also had the power to change a person that was unliked. And so if you follow along through chapter 5 and go to verse 27, the Bible says, "And after these things he went forth and saw a publican named Levi sitting at the receipt of customs, and said unto him, Follow me. And he left all, rose up, and followed him. And Levi made him a great feast in his own house, and there was a great company of publicans and others that sat down with him. So Jesus changed the life that of someone that was unlikable, and then Jesus changed the life to the point to where he and himself invited the publicans and sinners to be a part. And so Jesus can do that. You see, Jesus has power to change lives in so many ways. But this passage that we read to you just a few moments ago, this passage, he shows power over someone that has no hope. He had power over someone that had lost their hope. And so let's look at the miserable condition. And I want to spend a little bit of time here tonight with this miserable condition that this individual was in. So verse 12 says, "And it came to pass when he was in a certain city, behold, a man full of leprosy." So let's think about that just for a minute. We understand, and we mentioned leprosy a few sermons ago, but this individual was full of leprosy. And leprosy is a terrible condition. A terrible condition, and it wasn't getting any better. It wasn't the type of thing that it was a common cold that you would go through your 3 or 4 day process and you would get better, and then you were okay. But leprosy wasn't like that. Leprosy was something that in a lot of cases started small and it gradually got bigger. It gradually got to the point to where maybe a little spot would come up on this individual, and as soon as you saw an unusual spot, then I'm sure back then one of the first things that they would probably think in their minds was, oh my goodness, I hope it's not leprosy. And then it would gradually get worse, and I kind of envisioned that it would gradually get worse and gradually get worse, and maybe in their minds they thought, well, it's not so bad, it's not going to get, and I suspect every single day they would look at those spots. Every single day they would wake up and they would see this leprosy. They would see this condition. They would see how it continued to get worse and it began to spread. And every day it was a burden. Every day it was a burden. Every day, then it was a type of, if you will, a poison that got into the bloodstream and caused a lot of grief. And it caused a lot of disturbance. Now that's the physical part of leprosy. But anybody who has ever dealt with a physical condition, you know that there's a second side to this leprosy. And the second side is the emotional side. It's the emotional side. And the emotional side was this leprosy that was brought on, this condition. It would cause a person not to be able to be around someone. So then there was a type of alienation, if you will. They couldn't be around their friends. They couldn't be around their neighbors. They couldn't be around anyone because they themselves were contagious. And so now not only the physical, but now the emotions started hitting. They woke up with this problem and they went to bed with this problem. And a lot of times, an individual, the only peace that they might have is a type of sleep. If they go to sleep, then there's a little bit of peace. But as soon as their eyes opened and as soon as they woke up, that problem is back. And then your mind starts thinking about it. And then you start, you're going, it's almost like every day you're going through an emotion because of this physical condition. And that's the reason that I believe that this leprosy not only was a physical problem, but it was also an emotional problem. And so in a lot of ways, there was no relief in sight. His misery became unbearable. His misery became unbearable. And so many today are feeling the same way with life issues. It might not be leprosy, but it is life issues. Life issues hit people in many ways, not only physically, but it hits them emotionally. If you've ever had a life issue that you've been burdened about, then you know what I'm talking about. You go to bed and you wake up and you think everything's okay, and then all of a sudden it comes rushing back. It comes rushing back. You know, there's individuals that I know in my own life that I've talked to that's struggling with some things, that is having a hard time dealing with them because they just won't let go and give it to Jesus. They just won't let go. And I'm not sure why. I'm not sure if it's because they're afraid. I'm not sure if it's, you know, some people don't know what it's like not to be miserable, if that makes any sense. They've carried a burden so long that they don't know what it's like to just give it all to Jesus. And so that's the emotional part of what an individual goes through. And so this individual that came to Jesus was a miserable person, not only because of the physical, and you know about leprosy, not only physical, but there had to be an emotional burden as well. There had to be an emotional burden. And that emotional burden starts out small, just like leprosy, starts out small, and then it gets larger, and then it escalates to a point of misery. And then there's another thing that I think about, and we know as leprosy, we also understand that sin does the same thing. A sin that starts out small, and it's unconfessed, and it gradually gets worse and worse and worse, and then a person becomes miserable. So, and that will cause physical problems as well as mental problems as well, and that's sin. So, there's a lot of things, and I was thinking about this as I was studying and I was reading this passage. There's a lot of things that individuals carry, almost like they're carrying a type of leprosy, because when you're that miserable, when you have leprosy, then you can't be around somebody. But when you're carrying it emotionally, there's a lot of times you don't want to be around somebody. And so there's a burden here. There's a burden here of leprosy, and people are carrying around this misery every single day, and they're living with it with day in and day out, day in and day out. And they're living with this misery that they're faced with instead of doing this. Three words found in verse 12. And this is our next point, not only the misery, but now an inspiring revelation. An inspiring revelation, and that is three words. Who seeing Jesus? Who seeing Jesus? I believe that when he saw Jesus, he wanted something different. He wanted something different in his life. He wanted something different. He wanted a change. And I think that's where things changed for him, is that he wanted this change. He wanted, he wanted Jesus to do something in his life. He wanted something different. He desired a change. He sought help from the right resource. And that resource was Jesus Christ. He sought help from the right resource. Those tired eyes now was looking in the face of hope. Those tired eyes was now looking in the face of hope. And that's why I believe that hope is not found in a circumstance or a thing or a process, but hope is found in Jesus Christ. And that's when he was looking into the face of Jesus, he saw hope. And that's the hope that we have today, is Jesus Christ. That's the hope that we have. His eyes was solely on Jesus Christ. He didn't look down at his I don't believe that he looked down at his physical condition. I don't believe that he looked down at how his body was, because you know that someone with leprosy, their body becomes to get deformed and so on. I don't believe that he was looking at that condition, but he was seeing Jesus. And so our focus should be on Jesus Christ. So he sought help from the right resource, and those tired eyes was looking in the face of hope, and his eyes was solely on Jesus Christ. And I believe that all can do the same thing tonight, no matter what the problem is giving it to Jesus. Now, in this gentleman's condition, he was seeking help from his leprosy. But I believe that no matter what it is that's in our hearts tonight, whatever it is that's troubling us tonight, whatever it is that's burdening us tonight, I believe that we can give it to Jesus Christ. Does that mean that our pain's immediately going to go away like it did for this man? The Lord may not choose that. But I believe that he will give you the grace to get through whatever it is. But we have to seek him. You know, there's been times that I've prayed some things, and I've mentioned this before, and you have too, as far as in your life, there's been things that we've prayed for that the Lord just didn't see fit to answer the way that we prayed. But I will say this as a testimony, he's never let me down, and he's always given me the grace to get through it. Amen. When things happened was when I took my eyes off the Lord. When things happened in my life and it just seemed to be the misery came was when I took my eyes off the Lord. But you see, he laid eyes on Jesus. Who's seeing Jesus? And I think those three words is something that we need to remember and lay in our heart, is that we keep our eyes on Jesus Christ. This man had a physical condition, but he also had a burden that was around him daily with not only his physical, but also his mental state. His mental state. He now put his eyes on Jesus Christ, and things were getting ready to change. Things were getting ready to change. But I want to make mention how he came to Jesus. How he came to Jesus. The Bible says he fell on his face and besought him. That tells me that he came humbly. He came humbly. Too many individuals in this life almost feels like you owe me something. There's individuals that I'm around daily that is of the generation to come. They're the younger generation. And when you talk to them, they feel like they are owed everything. They feel like they're owed everything. They don't want to work for what they have. They don't want to do the things that are right. And then when you correct them, or when you say, no, we're not going to do this, it's almost like they turn it around to where it's your fault that they're not doing it. But that's the generation that is behind us. That is the mentality. But when it comes to Jesus Christ, let me go ahead and say it, and I believe this with all my heart, is that he don't owe us anything, but what we have is by his grace. Because he's already done the finished work. Jesus Christ died on the cross for our sins, and therefore, when we approach him, we need to approach him humbly. We need to approach him humbly. And that's what this man did. He fell on his face. And he besought him and he said, Lord, if thou wilt. It's almost like he was saying, I know you have the power and I know you can heal, and I'm giving you an earnest petition to help me. You see, that's where our help is. And that's where our hope is. Our hope is in Jesus Christ. There's a passage of scripture in the book of Hebrews chapter 11 verse 6. The Bible says, but without faith is it impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. I believe that he fell on his face and he recognized Jesus for who he was and asked the Lord, Lord, I need your help. I need your help. He besought him. He fell on his face. He approached him humbly. He approached him humbly. He had a burning desire to be clean. He had a burning desire to be clean. He confessed he needed the Lord's help. He confessed that he needed the Lord's help. And then lastly tonight, he received the touch. When he asked the Lord, "If thou wilt, thou canst make me clean," the Bible says, and he put forth his hand and touched him. He put forth his hand and touched him. And he says these words, "I will, be thou clean. I will, be thou clean." There's nothing like the touch of Jesus. There's nothing like the touch of Jesus. And not only was he healed physically, but I believe that his burden was lifted. I believe that that mental state or that emotional state that he was in, I believe that that was gone and that was lifted. And I say the only way is through Jesus. The only way is through Jesus. The healing didn't stop with this man, but the healing continued with others. And when I read that passage and when I read the verse, and I read it to you just a few moments ago, "But so much the more went there a fame abroad of him, and a great multitude came together to hear and to be healed by him of their infirmities." That just simply tells me he's willing. He's willing. No matter what it is that we deal with in life, he's willing. He's willing. You see, we have hope tonight in Jesus Christ. And I mentioned it a few moments ago, and I'll just repeat it tonight before we close, and that is this. If our physical bodies break down, and they will, the older we get, I can already tell you that I can't do the things that I used to do 30 years ago. My mind tells me I can, but my body tells me I can't. So as we get older, as you know, as we get older, our physical bodies are gonna break down. And there's gonna be problems that come. But he'll give us the grace to get through it. He'll give us the grace. He'll give us what we need. We just have to look to him. And we approach him in a humble way. We besought him. We ask for healing. We ask for help. And he'll give us what we need. And he'll give us the grace to get through whatever it is. But we must keep our eyes on Jesus. We must keep our eyes on Jesus. Why do we keep our eyes on Jesus? Why should we keep our eyes on Jesus? Because that's our hope. That's our hope. Our hope is not in things, circumstances, or places. But our hope tonight is in the person of Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We just need to come to him humbly, seek his face, and say, "Lord, if thou wilt, thou can make me clean. Thou can help me," and pray for the touch of God on our life. Let's pray. Father, thank you for our time together and how you bring encouragement to us. You bring help to us. You bring what we need. Help us, Lord, to always look to you. Help us to find our help in you. Help us to find our encouragement in you. And help us to never take for granted what you're already doing in our lives. Help us to approach you humbly, and help us to look to you. And Lord, we ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.